This service is great, isn't it? Really great. Great worship. Thank you, guys. And it's going to be even better because today's speaker comes all the way from the front row. Stuart Lake. Yay!
Hallelujah. Bless you. I think we should just keep worshipping, to be honest.
Run out of songs.
Hey, I've got a sermon. Worship's been amazing. Good morning, church. How are you all doing? You're well? Hallelujah. We look a bit thin on the ground, but that's fine. We're going to just still have a great service. So this morning we are carrying on with our vision, the second part of being his heart, his hands, and his feet. And we are talking about being his hands. And the week before, Paul Lynch was here. Who can remember Paul Lynch? He was amazing. He did healing hands and he preached and did just an amazing service. The Spirit of God was here. So this week I'm talking about anointing hands and what does that mean for us as a church. And we're going to mix it up a little bit. You know, normally you preach for 20 minutes or something a bit more. And you kind of do a bit of a section. But we're going to try and do something a bit different. We're going to split it in two. So we're going to do two power-packed sections of this sermon with something in between. So, you know, this morning I've called this sermon, "The Anointing Makes the Difference." The anointing makes the difference. 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." And John carries on to verse 27 and he says, "As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you." So I'm done. That's the sermon. It says that you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you all things, as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Each and every one of us have been anointed. If we've given our lives to Jesus, if we've said, "Jesus, I give my life to you," he has anointed each and every one of us. And anointing is kind of a word we hear in church, isn't it? A bit Christianese. Like kind of you hear, it was an anointed service, or that worship leader was really anointed, or that song is just really anointed. It takes me to that place. Or maybe you kind of heard a preacher and you're like, "Oh, that preacher just had that anointing. There was something special about him." But what is anointing? What is it according to the Bible? And why do we talk about anointing? Why do we talk about, what is the importance of anointing? Well, every good sermon should have a definition in it, should it? So I put a dictionary definition in from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And to anoint means to smear or rub with oil on an oily substance. To smear or rub with oil or an oily substance. It means to apply oil as a sacred rite, especially for consecration. It means to choose by or as if by divine election, also to designate as if by ritual anointment. It talks about smearing on, and I love Rick Warren. He came up with a little kind of definition of what being anointed is, and he came up with two different ones. Anointed by God, which is internal, when the Holy Spirit gives you insight, ability, stamina, authority, protection to do whatever you are called to do. And then there's the anointing by people, which is the external. And we've done that many times here at church, when someone prayerfully applies some oil on the skin as an outward sign of what God is doing within. The outward sign of what God is doing within. The oil that we anoint with, it's an external symbol of an internal process. The oil that we anoint with, it's just a symbol. Even like communion is a symbol of Jesus' body and his blood. When we take it, it is a symbol and we do it in remembrance of him. Just like baptism is when we go down, it's as if we are go down in death and we rise up in Christ. It's a symbol of being born again in him, being renewed in him and following him. And I think about my symbol that I carry around with me every single day. When I said I do, I don't think I necessarily knew what I said I do to, but when I said I do, I got this ring. And it was a symbol to remind me of what was going to be my commitment for the rest of my life. And my wife likes to remind me of that commitment and the small print that I didn't read. But we have a symbol of what are we committed to. And that is what we see with the idea of anointing. The oil is a symbol of an internal process. Oil is symbolic in the Bible of God's Spirit, His presence, His blessing, His approval of each and every one of us. His power, His comfort, His joy. There's talks of the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, the oil of salvation. It talks of His authority. And we see it throughout Scripture, the way in which God uses oil to anoint and appoint and to bless His people. But you can't talk about anointing without talking about Jesus. Now, some people think that Jesus Christ, Jesus is His first name and Christ is His last name. That's not actually true. Christ is actually, it means the anointed one in the Greek. So it's actually Jesus, the anointed one. It's not a last name. It is His full name. It is the authority that He carries. And we see that in John 3 verse 34, it says, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." And then Jesus said it Himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is the Messiah, the Holy Anointed One. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. He is the fulfillment of Scripture. And in Acts 4:26, we see that he is called the Lord's Anointed. Acts 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under His power of the devil, because God was with Him. Jesus was the anointed one, and we see that very much in the picture when Jesus meets the woman at the well. There's a phrase when she finally comes to that understanding of who Jesus is. She says this phrase. She says, "I know the Messiah has come." What she was actually saying was, "I know the one fully smeared, painted, covered, absolutely anointed, the one that God's Spirit is upon is here." That's what she was proclaiming, that she knew that this was someone who was like no other. He had a portion of blessing, he had a portion of anointing upon Him that none of us could experience, because He was the anointed of God. He was and He is. You know, sometimes in church today, you know, if we think about Jesus, if he didn't have His anointing, He might not have been able to do everything that He accomplished. But in church today, I wonder if God suddenly removed His anointing from the church, would the church notice? Or would we keep going through the run of the mill and actually in a month or two times say, where's God gone? We need to be very mindful that God is the one who anoints us and appoints us. So how does anointing make a difference? Well, the first point, and this is the one before we break up the service, it's we are anointed with purpose and power. We love our P's, P&P, purpose and power. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, His masterpiece." I love another version. It says That word, masterpiece, handiwork, talks of poema. It's a Greek word which talks about being his poem, his beautiful poem. We are his masterpiece, his poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Each and every one of us have been called for a purpose and a different calling. Not all of us have the same calling. Not all of us have the same purpose. But it is what God has prepared in advance for us to do is his good works according to his plan and calling for our lives. But here's the rub. We cannot accomplish all that God has called us to do and all that God has appointed us to do without his anointing. We can try in our own strength. We can try to do it in our own might, but actually it's futile. Without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, that is what gives us the anointing to carry out his purposes in our lives. We see the anointing throughout the Bible. We see different things and different elements that were anointed. If we look at the Old Testament, objects were anointed so that they were set aside for the holy use. In Leviticus 8, it says, Moses then took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. We see that prophets in 1 Kings 9, verse 16, were anointed in order to proclaim the word of God to the people. We see that the priests in Exodus 40, verse 13, were anointed in order to carry out their duties of worship and sacrifice. And we see that kings were anointed in 1 Samuel 16 in order that they may be able to rule and govern with God's anointing. We need to understand this morning that God anoints us specifically for a purpose and with a power from on high. You know, when I think of kings, I think of David. There's no better example of an anointing a king than David in the Bible. And if you want to read it another time in 1 Samuel 16, that whole chapter is very powerful and it talks about his anointing. But just to give you a bit of a background, Samuel was kind of mourning over Saul because Saul was a bit of a wretched leader. He wasn't a very good leader and Samuel was kind of crying and mourning, and God just said, dude, chill out, man. Like just get off your bum and get going. Like, he just kind of gave him a holy shove. You know, now God sometimes does that to us. And so he said, Samuel, get off your bum, pick up some anointing oil, and go where I will lead you, and you will anoint the next king. And so we see that Samuel goes and he comes to Jesse's house, and he comes and he speaks to Jesse and he says, bring me your sons. And so Jesse brings out his son. He starts with the oldest. And each son that comes before Samuel, God says, no, that's not my chosen. That's not the one that I have for the purpose and the power. And so he goes by the oldest, who they think is going to be the best. And he says, no, that's not the one. Then the next one, no, that's not the one. Then the next one, no, that's not the one. Six sons later, it's like they've run out of sons. He's like, oh man, this is a difficult situation. Like, I just imagine Samuel. He's like, I've got no one else to anoint. This is awkward, God. So he says to Jesse, are you sure you don't have any more sons? Like, you know, just under the rug or something, because this is a little bit embarrassing. And sure enough, like, Jesse kind of, I think, just goes, well, I do have a son, but he's not really much. He's actually out on the field tending the flock. He's the runt of the group, and his name's David. So anyway, probably after much kind of to-ing and fro-ing, Jesse says, bring him. And we read in the passage in verse 12, it says, so Jesse sent for him. He was a dark and handsome man, I think much like me, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said to him, this is the one. Anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and he anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. You know, each and every one of us have a special anointing for a special purpose, to have a special power that will be upon us from this day on. David, you know, in the Bible, the Spirit of God in the Old Testament would come, but it would also go. But this says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. David had received the purpose and the power of God. And that's the difference that the anointing of God makes. I can just imagine, you know, the difference is a boy out on the field. He's practicing his slingshot alone, and he's looking after the sheep. But the difference that the anointing of God makes is that he becomes, with that same sling, he becomes a hero and he kills a giant. The difference that the anointing makes is, you know, there's a boy who's overseeing just a few sheep and probably going a bit stir crazy because all he's got is a few sheep to be his friends. But in due time, he is the ruler of a nation and he is the seed of the Messiah, Jesus himself. When we are anointed, when we are appointed, God will always empower us and enable us to do what he's called us to do. You know, I don't know about you, but recently we watched on TV, and I'm going to finish with this bit before we go to the next section. We watched this recently, didn't we? The King's Anointing. And there was this powerful moment where they stripped the king. If you didn't see it, they stripped the king of all his garments. Not all of them, he wasn't naked, don't worry. But they stripped him of his garments, and all he had was this white little dress thing on. And they stripped him of all his finery, they stripped him of all his grandeur. And then they brought around him these holy screens. Not that they are holy, because they wanted to create a holy moment where actually it was between him and God. It was not for us to see. But as the priest went and anointed King Charles, it was that moment. It was a holy moment when you hear that song, Zadok the priest. I can't sing it and I don't know the lyrics. But there was that powerful moment when you knew that something was happening behind the veil. There was something happening behind the screen, and God was anointing King Charles for something special, for something amazing. Acts 1 verse 8 talks about the dunamis power of God. His power that is coming upon you to be his witnesses in all the earth. Now I want to invite a group of people up that we've already kind of prepped. And they're not all here this morning, but that's fine. I want our leadership team and our elders to come, and I want you to line up here. We're not going to put a veil around you, don't you? We're not going to screen you away. I just want our elders, come on, leadership team. We want you to come up. Because I believe that for every calling and for every appointment that God has, there is an anointing and there is a power that God wants to impart into our lives to be able to do what he's called us to do. And so we want to anoint you guys. We want to anoint you. We want to set a moment in the church to just say that we are so thankful for who you are. I want you to look at them. Everyone turn around and see them. Aren't they a beautiful bunch? They're a beautiful bunch, aren't they? These are your leaders. These are your people that have been set apart for a purpose and with power to lead his church and to do his work here on earth. And I'm going to read out a verse that comes for me in the Bible, and it says it's the verse that Jesus read upon himself. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is upon you because he has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to release from the darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Why? For the display of his splendor. This morning I'm going to ask Will to get some anointing oil, and we're just going to anoint you. And I want the whole church to stretch out our hands and to pray over these lovely leaders, these people that are called to a special purpose, to a special anointing within the church, to lead the church in different areas. Because it is not the job of just the elders to run this church. It's not the job of just a few. There are some that have a special appointing and a special anointing. And this morning we want to just anoint them and bless them. So let's reach out our hands as we cover them and pray over them. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, guys. You may go sit. That was maybe a bit quicker than I would have liked, but I'm just very wary of time. But we believe in a special power and a special purpose that each and every one of us have to fulfill. And I believe that God does not appoint anyone without an anointing to do that which he has called you to do. This morning you might feel like, actually, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know how I can fulfill what God's given me to do. Come and speak to us. We want to empower you. We want to enable you. We want to help you on that journey to find out what is your part to play. And leaders, and each and every one of us, there is a charge in 2 Timothy. As Paul speaks to Timothy, he says these words to him. He says, For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is on you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God is in the business of not giving us timidity, but giving us power and self-discipline. So how does anointing make a difference? Well, we are anointed with purpose and power. And we are going to end with this one. We are anointed to overflowing. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." It is God who anoints. You know, although myself and Will anointed, we just did the action, but actually it's the Holy Spirit, it's God's anointing upon each and every one of us that makes the difference. It's his deposit as he sets his seal of ownership upon you. I don't know about you, but that sounds amazing to me. That God has set his seal of ownership upon me. He sets a seal on me that cannot be broken by sickness, by death, by disease. But he has set me apart and he has sealed me so that I may know him in greater measure. But I wonder this morning, maybe you're feeling a little bit weary. Maybe this morning you're feeling a little bit dry. Maybe this morning you're kind of saying, I don't see this power. I don't know how to access the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit in my life. And I don't see it on a daily basis. I'm loving church on a Sunday, but come Monday, I'm just like, nah. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to deal with my children. Can I put them in a cupboard? That's just me. But anyway, you know, sometimes we get tired and weary, don't we? And we don't feel like we've been anointed to an overflowing condition. And sometimes we can look back at the good old days, can't we? We can look back at the Toronto blessing days or the, I don't know, whatever revivals have happened. I can look back at my camp days when I went to Hanson Dorset Christian Youth Camp. And I can say, oh, I had an amazing time. The Spirit of God came and we were just so encountered and overflowing with his presence. But that was like when I was 14. I can't live off my 14-year-old blessing. I can't live off what God gave me at 14. I need to know his refreshing. I need to know his overflowing. And I love that King David writes this psalm. Psalm 23, and we know it all so well. He says, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." It's interesting, isn't it, that the context of this passage is written in a time when David was in great strife and struggle. If you read before, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's good. Thank you, Jesus. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Thank you, Jesus. "He leads me beside still waters." Thank you, Jesus. "He restores my soul." Come on. "He leads me in paths of righteousness." You're like, come on, this is amazing, Lord. Hallelujah. And then you come to verse 4. And you're like, "Oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." For what? "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And this bit's amazing. "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." God anoints David when he is in the valley of the shadow of death. When he is in the presence of his enemies, he's there having a dinner party with Jesus when his enemies are surrounding him and gathering around him. But he knows that when God has anointed him, it is something that overflows from him. We could be tired, we can be weary, but actually it is God's anointing that overflows within us, even in the presence of difficult times. But you know, each and every one of us, this is an encouraging word for each of us. We are a bit leaky, aren't we? We're all a bit like a colander. We're all a bit like someone who leaks a bit. You know, one of the things I was thinking about when I was preparing the sermon is I just dislike kids' parties. I really dislike parties. I mean, kids' parties are a nightmare at the best of times, aren't they? Hundreds of kids doing what they want, chaos, jacked up on sugar and sweets. Terrible. But the worst part of a kids' party is you come to the very end of the party and what is remaining for the kids to take home? Balloons. And of course, they all want to take two or three balloons home, don't they? So that you have two or three balloons, much to your distress, in your car, floating around as you're trying to drive, and you're like, "Oh, my kids love balloons," and they take it home, and they get it home, and they love it for about half an hour. And then it just drifts around the house for the next day or two, doesn't it? And you're just like, "I hate parties, and I hate balloons." But you have this kind of split moment with a balloon as it's starting to fade. It's starting to get a bit flappy. It's leaked a bit of air, and it's just kind of, it's a bit floppy around the house, isn't it? It's a bit like a floppy guy. And you have this decision to make. Do I put it outside and let the wind carry it away and add to global warming? Or do I pop it, and then all the spit of that person goes on my face? It's just like, flip. And so you get to that point, you're like, "I can't add to global warming." And you're just like, "Jesus, help me." So you grab your knife or your scissors and you're just like, "Oh," and you keep stabbing it, but because it's so flappy, it just flaps around, doesn't it? You finally burst it and then just get covered in slobber. And you're just like, "Oh." Why am I saying all that? Well, because so often we're like the flabby balloon, aren't we? We're all so beautiful at the party and we get so jacked up on air. We're so filled with the Holy Spirit that when we get home a day or two later, we become a bit flappy. We become a bit bruh. Hopefully we didn't get popped, but sometimes we do get popped because we start to lose the anointing because there are so many things that we do. We fall into sin. We forget to read our Bible. We have so much pride built within us. And actually, by Wednesday, we've forgotten what happened on Sunday. And we've become a flabby old balloon that's just been stabbed on the ground. Hopefully not. But no, this morning I tried to get to church. And I got into the car. And I had that dreaded moment that when you know you have to be somewhere, you just don't ever want to have. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. So I'm there going, "Jesus, this is amazing." But it transpires that my kids, bless them, thank you, Jesus, for my children. They had helped my wife clean the car whilst I was finishing the sermon yesterday. It's amazing of them to do that. I'm very thankful. Thank you, Jesus. But my kids like to play with the car. and like to leave certain things on in the car. And I had no idea. And so overnight, the slow drain of the battery meant that when I got into the car, there was nothing left to start it this morning. There certainly was no overflow for my car to get up and going. And as I was walking around going, God, what am I going to do? I walked around the grass this morning and I was just like, Lord, I don't know what's going on. But I believe you are the God who anoints my head and my cup will overflow. And as I was walking through, I realized that my feet were getting wet. Because Jesus gives you a portion. He gives you a fresh dew. He gives you a fresh anointing for each and every day. And that anointing that flows from heaven, it leaves your feet wet, it leaves your head wet. In the Bible, it talks about, in Psalm 133, it says, it is like the hair, the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. And in Exodus, when they were anointing, they would anoint, and that's why we didn't do it today, but they would anoint someone with 6 liters of oil. Why? Because of the overflow. Because God is in the business of doing exceedingly abundantly above. This morning my shoes were wet, but now they're dry. I need a fresh anointing. I need God to come upon me each and every day. Why does it say in the Lord's Prayer, give me this month my daily bread? No. Give me this day my daily bread. Give me today a fresh anointing. Give me today your spirit upon me. Give me today a fresh spray. You know, this morning when you woke up, you probably did a bit of a spray, didn't you? Hopefully you're not still wearing last week's spray. This morning, I believe that Jesus wants to do something fresh in us today. I believe that he wants to anoint our heads with oil and he wants to make our cup overflow. Because when we overflow, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, when we go to work on a Monday, people will say to you, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. Do you do Tai Chi? Do you do yoga? No, I do Jesus. I do the Holy Spirit's anointing upon me. I believe this morning there are people here that you want a fresh touch. You know, we all grow weary. We all leak. So why do we not all run to receive something more from Jesus? We don't need to do it in an anointing service, but we are going to offer it this morning. But James 4, verse 2 says, you don't have it because you don't ask God for it. This morning, we are called for a purpose. We are called with power. And we are called to overflow. That when we go back to work, when we go back to our families, when we find those soggy old balloons, they will sense that there is something different about us. They will sense the sweet fragrance and the sweet presence of Jesus that is overflowing from us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I'd love the worship team to come back. And we're going to offer a moment where we would just like to anoint anyone who would like it. An opportunity to refill that which maybe feels dry and weary. An opportunity to maybe you're in a great place, but you just want to have your cup overflow. Or maybe you want to know a bit more of that purpose and that power that God has in store for you in your everyday walk. We're not all called to church leadership, but we may be called to different elements in our lives. And if we truly want to make a difference, if we truly want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we need his anointing. We need his spirit to rest upon us. And we need his power to push us into his purposes for his kingdom and his glory. Why don't we stand up together? I'm going to invite the elders to come forward and they're going to be here this morning. The elders are going to be at the front this morning to anoint anyone that would like it. We're going to offer a few moments where we just let you come forward. Receive a fresh portion. Receive all that God has for you. Why? Because the anointing, the Spirit of God makes the difference in your life and in my life. May we just submit ourselves to him and receive him in all that he is. Father God, we come before you. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are the holy and anointed one, the Messiah, the true and living God. And as God, you anointed your son, may you anoint us afresh for your purpose, with your power, till we are overflowing, so that we may be an impact to your kingdom here on earth, Lord Jesus, we pray. Not for our glory, but for you, for your kingdom. Holy Spirit, refresh us, anoint us, renew us, we pray. In your name, amen. Let's worship God.